ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Continuing the discussion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers of surrender. So yesterday we read the line, Sharanga Sharanagati Jaha Hoibe Jaha Taha Prarthana Shune Shunanga Kumar, which means that whoever is fully surrendered to Krishna, Krishna hears his prayer. So this is a very important point about prayer. Prayer is a very important part of our life as devotees. Devotee means he's always praying to Krishna. Prarthana karai sada narottama das. That Narottam says, I'm always praying. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jara Asht Chaitanya Charita Amrita Kahe Krishna Das. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami also says, I'm composing this Chaitanya Charita Amrita, always praying at the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. So, devotee is always praying. That doesn't mean that he's only praying, but whatever he's doing, if he's distributing books, cleaning the floor, whatever he's doing, he's always praying to Krishna. Krishna, please save me. Please help me. Please give me your mercy. Please reveal yourself to me. This chanting Hare Krishna is also praying. Sometimes we call it mantra meditation. But actually it's more than meditation, it's prayer. We're praying to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So what should be our mood while chanting? That mood should be, Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitang maam vishame bhavam buddho kripaya tava pada pankajas tita dhuli sadrishan vichandaya. Our mood when chanting should be to pray to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor, but somehow I have fallen into this material world. Now, please pick me up from this world of death and place me as one of the atoms in the dust of your lotus feet. Prabhupada commented once that this should be our only prayer. Prayer for service. That is why we are enjoined, we are directed to pray according to the prayers of the great acharyas. It is best that instead of inventing our own prayers, we pray according to the prayers given to us by the great acharyas. We should learn some prayers from scriptures or given by our great acharyas and recite these prayers. It is one of the 64 regulative principles of devotional service that we should offer prayers. So there are many prayers. There are the prayers that Arjuna offered to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There are so many prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And our acharyas have all composed many prayers to Krishna. Almost all the great acharyas, they composed at least some prayers to Krishna. So we can select some prayers according to our choice and recite such prayers. Usually prayers, they take the form, first of all, of praise of God. And then after that, asking some benediction. Materialistic persons, they go to God and pray, my dear God, you are very great. Now please solve all my problems. You are so great, you are the owner of the whole universe. Surely you could give me at least some money. But the prayers of the pure devotees are quite different. They are prayers for service, prayers for surrender. Prabhupada said that our only prayer should be that prayer for service. And all the prayers of the great acharyas, they're all along this line. Queen Kunti's prayer is quite exceptional, because the materialistic people are saying, please solve all my problems. And Queen Kunti is praying to Krishna, please give me more problems. Vipada santata shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam gatsat apunad bhava darshanam. She has very intelligently analyzed that our real problem is the problem of repeated birth, death, old age and disease. So she says to Krishna, please give us more problems. She'd already seen plenty of problems that is described in the Mahabharata, that how many so many things she has described, how they were from the very beginning, the Kauravas, they were simply plotting how to destroy the Pandavas. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat. First of all, they give some poisoned food to try to kill Bhimasen. Then they made some arrangement to try to burn them to death. Then they, in the forest, they had to face the big Rakshasas who wanted to eat them all. Shan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabhaya. They were insulted and their whole kingdom taken away from them in the Asat Sabha, in the gambling arena arranged by Shakuni. Asat Sabha. Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritshita. Then they had to live in the forest for so many years, 12 years plus one. There were great princes brought up since birth in great opulence and luxury. But they had to live like beggars in the forest, being stripped of their kingdom and their royal opulences. Then they had to fight in the terrible battle of Kurukshetra. They had to fight
with so many great warriors. In the Kurukshetra war, it seemed they didn't have a chance because there were so many great warriors lined up against them. But Krishna saved them again and again. The Pandavas were saved again and again by Krishna. Their whole life, simply one difficulty after another, beginning from the very young age when they lost their father. So just when it seemed like it was all over, the fight was over, Krishna had let them, Krishna had arranged that they won the battle of Kurukshetra. Then Dronyashtra, Dronyashtra's chasna hare birakshita. Then Ashvatthama sent the Ramashtra to kill the child Parikshit in the womb. And Krishna saved them again from this calamity. So now it seemed that surely now we can live in peace after so many years. But Kunti Devi prays, please give us more problems. So it may seem like a very strange prayer. Everyone is going to Krishna, solve my problem, solve my problem, solve my problem. Then Kunti Devi is saying, give me more problems. But why? Because if there is problem, then the devotees, they think of Krishna more intensely because they know their only shelter is Krishna. They may not directly pray to Krishna, you solve my problem. The devotees, the pure devotees, they don't like to trouble Krishna with their personal problems. But when there are many difficulties, then devotees, they naturally think of Krishna more and more intensely. So that is why it is good for devotees to take on difficulties. To desire a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness is not very good. It is better that we take on some difficult service, because that will help us to remember Krishna more and more. When we realize that we can't do by ourselves, we have to pray to Krishna, Krishna, please help me so that I can serve you properly. So this intense remembrance of Krishna means that we will always see Krishna. And if we see Krishna, then we will no longer have to see repeated birth and death. Therefore, Kunti again prayed a very beautiful prayer. You can learn some of these prayers. These Kunti's prayers, they're very beautiful prayers. Prabhupada would like to recite them also. There's one very nice prayer. Twayi me nanya vishaya matir matuka te sakritra tim udvahata data gange voga madhavati. She prays to Krishna that Krishna, may my concentration, my attention be towards you only. Just as the Ganga flows towards the sea, may my attention be towards you only. Ganga starts high, high in the Himalayas, long distance from the sea. But from the very source at Gangotri, she is simply rushing, rushing, rushing. If you see the Ganga, the whole length of the Ganga, very strong current. And though she passes through many different districts, many different countries, her ultimate goal is only to reach the sea. So in the same way, devotee may have to go through so many different things in life, but his attention should be strongly fixed on that I am going towards Krishna. I must reach Krishna. So these are very nice prayers. Prahlad Maharaj, he also prayed in the mood of pure surrender. After Nrisimhadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad, so what do you want? Here I am, I'm God, and I can give you whatever you want. Everyone prays to me for something, so what do you want from me? Prahlad Maharaj was a little angry at Nrisimhadev. Not angry, but a little upset. He a little bit rebuked him. He can do that because he's a pure devotee. Prahlad, very simple young boy. So he said that, my dear Lord, after all, I'm born in a family of demons. So naturally, I'm inclined towards all kinds of material desires. So please don't tempt me with all these offers of material opulences, that otherwise my mind may become disturbed. He said, I didn't worship you like a merchant. Merchant, he's giving the example, but so many people, they approach Krishna and they bring something, they offer something, they pray something to him, but their object is to get something back. They have self-interest. So in that way, their so-called devotion, it's not devotion at all, it's a kind of business. But then Prahlad, he thought, all right, if you want to give me any benediction, give me this benediction. Please give me the benediction that all the material desires will be removed from my heart completely. And again we see Dhruva Maharaj, here's also a very important prayer. He's praying that, my dear Lord, may I get the association of your devotees life after life. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers we're reciting daily. The essence of pure devotion. All Vaishnava philosophy is summarized in these eight prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitwe. This is, in this one verse, the essence of pure devotion is summed up. And in this verse, aslishava padaratam panashtuma madarshanam namhatam karotuva. This expresses the highly developed mood of pure devotion. That even if see, the materialistic people, they're approaching God with the mood that as long as you give me something, I'll keep on worshipping you. And if you don't fulfill my desires, then I don't care for you at all. But this prayer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying that even if you reject me, Krishna, even if you treat me very badly, still I'll never give up your worship. So these are some prayers. We should learn some of them. All the songs in our songbook, they're also prayers. It's also very nice to learn some of these. That will enrich our spiritual emotions. This, of course, Sharanagati, this is all prayers of surrender by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the song we read yesterday, that was an introductory song. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins his Sharanagati. The Sharanagati that was described yesterday, that's in six divisions. So the first Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given is Doina, humility, which he has described in seven songs. Now, in these many of these songs, he's given the example of his own life. He has described his own life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life was quite unusual. Now, even though he is a personal associate of Lord Krishna from the spiritual world, from the external point of view, in his early part of the life, he appeared to be a materialistic person. So he's describing his life just as if he's an ordinary materialistic person. This is very valuable for us who are actually real materialistic people. So he teaches us how to pray. He says, Hulia tomare shangshare ashaya peena na bidha betta. He says, this is the story of everyone's material life. That forgetting you, Krishna, I came to this material world. And what has been the result? Simply, I've received different kinds of pain. This material world is simply painful. Everyone is suffering in the fire of material existence. And in different species of life, they're trying to be happy, but they simply get pain. There's one medicine called painkiller. If you have a headache or a toothache or something, you're supposed to take a painkiller. But this is not competent to stop the pain of material existence. There is no relief from the pain of material existence. The only relief is to take shelter of Krishna, which is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur here. He says, Toma charane ashiachi ami bolibo dukhera katha. He says that, now Krishna, I'm coming to your lotus feet to tell you the story of my unhappiness. Janani jathare chilam jakhon bisama bandhana phashe ekba prabhu dekha diya more ponchilo ei dina dashe. He says that when I was in the womb of my mother, I was suffering intensely. This is the actual fact. In Gita, Lord Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. The four material miseries are birth, death, old age, and disease. Sometimes people think that in the mother's womb it must be very nice. It's very sheltered and you can sleep all day. People think if you can sleep all day, it's very nice. And no worries, no taxes to pay, very nice life. But the actual fact we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not nice at all. After 7 months in the womb, the child, his consciousness revives. Then he feels himself very cramped up in that position. He cannot move. And there are different worms and bugs within the womb of the mother that bite him. And if the mother takes very strong food or smokes cigarettes or drink alcohol, then that produces acid, which simply burns the child. He cannot protest. So the child in the womb, if he has been pious in previous lives, he may remember Krishna. And here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in the womb of his mother, he actually got the darshan of Krishna. Krishna showed himself to him. So Krishna showed himself and then again vanished from his view. So at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the child in the womb, he thought that how I am suffering in this material life. He thought that this time when I am born, surely I will worship Krishna. I will worship Krishna and I will get free from this material existence. But what happened, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that when I was born, actually, then I simply fell into the net of Maya. And I didn't have, I completely forgot. I forgot all about Krishna. Takana bhavinu janama paya karibo bhajana taba. Janama hoilo pari maya jale na hoilo gyana laba. Then next verse. Adore chale shajane kole hashiya khatanu khao. He says, then I became the very much, I became young boy, child, very much object of affection of all my friends and relatives. They would sit me on their lap and laugh and joke with me. You see, people, they like to take children and make funny noises, goo goo, gaga, all this. And then the child smiles. And everyone's completely in Maya. They think this is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. But the child, he's smiling, thinking this is very nice, but he's forgotten Krishna. So there's no harm if parents play with their children like this also. But they should remember that we are all children of Krishna. And by the laws of karma, now this child, this living entity, has become my child. Now I should teach him to be Krishna conscious. So Janaka Janani Snehete Bhuliya Shangshara Lagilo Bhalo. He's being wrapped up, being absorbed in the affection of his mother and father. What's that, Maitreya? What does that mean? What's that Maitreya saying? So Sangshara Lagilo Bhalo. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I thought life is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. My father and mother, they're so nice. So Krame Dinadin Bhala Kahoya Kedeno Balakasha. He says that gradually, day by day, I grew up, I became a little boy, and I played with all the other boys. How wonderful. Ar kichu dine, gyan uparjalo, pata pari aharaha. So after a few more days, then I started to study and get knowledge. And I became really absorbed in that. I used to study day and night. Bidda gorabe brahmi deshe deshe dhan uparjana kari. Bidda gorabe says being puffed up with my knowledge. He became a great scholar, being puffed up with my knowledge. Brahmi deshe deshe. I traveled from place to place. Dhan uparjana kari, for the sake of earning money. So this is actually, if you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, then he moved from place to place a lot. He would be 2 years one place, 1 year another place, 3 years another place. First of all, he was a teacher, and later he became a magistrate. So he was a very highly intellectual person. This is the story of his life. Shajana palana kari ek mone bhulino tomare hari. He says that all I could think about was maintaining my family. And in this way, Lord Hari, I forgot you. Na bhajya tore, dinna britha gelo. Ekona ki hobe gati. He says that not having bardaka ekon bhakati vinod kandiya katara ati. He says that now I've become old and all I can do is simply lament and weep. Now I understand that because I didn't worship you, my whole life was spoiled. Now what should I do? Now what will be my destination? So like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying in a mood of desperation at how I spoiled my life. So we should all remember that old age is not far away. Death is not far away. Death can come at any time. But even if we live to be what we consider to be old, 90 or 100 years, we don't have long to live. And when we become old, it's very difficult to train our mind in Krishna consciousness. But whatever habits are set in the early life, that habit will stay generally. Sometimes people think, let me enjoy life now, I'll become Krishna conscious later on. No need to be serious now. I'll be serious later. But later, one point is, there may not be later. Death can come at any time. Another point is that in old age, it's very difficult to change our habits. It may be very difficult even to chant Hare Krishna at all, because the body suffers from so many different diseases. Those who are young, they don't take this seriously. That is the blessings of Maya. This youth, time of life where Maya gives the opportunity to enjoy. You feel young and healthy. You feel like you can climb up mountains. Everything seems bright and happy. Just like you see the puppy dogs or the puppy cat, the baby cats, they're always playing and happy. But when they get older, they lose their enthusiasm. So in youth, one has much enthusiasm to enjoy life and enjoy the senses. But in old age, people are generally just lamenting. That Shankaracharya also analyzed. What is that? Yavat Balat Balakrira Asakta. Says that in the young boys, as long as one is a young boy, he's simply enjoying playing. Then, what is that? Yuvati Asakta. He says that, and when in youth, the yuvaks, the young boys, they're simply interested in young girls. And then, Riddhakala Chintamagna. In old age, they're simply looking back and lamenting. Pare Brahmani Kopi Asakta. But in all this cycle of life, who is attached to the Supreme Absolute Truth? So in the old, we may think, in old age I'll become Krishna conscious. Too late. So we have to be very serious now about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in old age, we will simply have to lament. In old age, we may get the realization how I've spoiled my life. All the things I could have done, I should have done, but I didn't. I should have surrendered to Krishna. I should have been more serious, but I wasted my time. If we reach old age in such a condition, then we will simply have to lament. So let us be serious now, not waste our time. So another song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing about his own life. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great scholar. Even from the mundane point of view, he was a very learned person. Teacher, lawyer, he knew English very well, which in those days in India was not very common for Indians to know English very well. And he also knew Bengali, Sanskrit, and Urdu, Persian, all these languages. So he says, Bidya bilashe kathainu kal parama sahasyami. He says that, in the pastimes of scholarship, I spent my time being very proud and confident. So this is the nature of mundane scholars. They think that the knowledge is such a wonderful thing, mundane knowledge. They are very confident in their mundane knowledge. Just like the scientists, because they have a little knowledge, they presume they know everything. You see how Maya works on different people. Most people are simply dull and they're passing their lives not much more intelligence than animals. But those who are a little intelligent, they become absorbed in mundane knowledge. And they think that this knowledge that will protect them. They presume themselves to be superior to others on the basis of their knowledge. Because they can speak in big long words, they think they're demigods. And their whole life is simply moving around different mental speculations in their minds and discussing with other speculators, well, what do you think about this? In my opinion, the whole world of intellectualism and mental speculation is a whole arena of Maya. And even though people think that they are very advanced and very scholarly and very superior, they are described in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna as Maya Aparita Jnana. Their real knowledge is covered by illusion. They may know so many things. They take great pleasure in showing off their knowledge to others. They like to talk on and on about all kinds of nonsense things which they've learned. But the real knowledge they don't have even slightly. The very beginning of real knowledge they are completely divorced from. They can talk so many things about this material world, but the really important point that we don't belong to this material world at all, they have not the slightest knowledge about. Therefore, they are in this position, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tomara charan na bhajino kabu. He says, I was so absorbed in my studies, but I never worshipped your lotus feet. But Bhaktivinoda says, Ekana sharana tumi. Now, you are my shelter. Krishna. Parite parite bharasha bharilo gyane gati hobe mone. He says, going on reading and reading, my expectations increased. I thought this is so wonderful. Just like materialistic scholarly people, they like to walk into a library and look at all the books. They think this is wonderful. So many wonderful books about so many different topics, written by so many big, big scholars. When a devotee sees all this, he sees this is all useless. There's no glorification of Krishna. It's all useless. It's simply like a garbage heap. A garbage heap where the crows will come. Tadvayasam tirtam ushanti manasa. That Bhagavatam describes, that literature, it may be so nicely written, but if there's no glorification of Krishna, it's just like a pilgrimage place for crows. So mundane scholars, they think, they become totally infatuated by this mundane knowledge. And they think that all the problems of life can be solved by this mundane knowledge. Gyane gati hobe mani. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also saying that I thought I will also become a great intellectual. But now he gives the real analysis. She asha bifal, she gyana durbal, she gyana ogyana jani. He says that hope of mine was all useless. That knowledge is weak. It has no real strength. And he says that knowledge, actually it's not knowledge at all. It's all simply ignorance. Joro bidda jato mayar vaibhav tomar bhajane badha. This very important line says that this materialistic knowledge, all of it is simply a display of illusion, of maya. And it is an obstacle in the worship of Lord Krishna. So, moha janamiya anitya sangsare jibke kari gadha. That so-called knowledge, it simply gives birth to more and more illusion, which binds us in this temporary material existence and makes the so-called big intellectual scholar into a big ass. It's like, you see, the ass, they also like to give learned discourses. One ass will give a big speech. And all the other asses will think, oh, what a wonderful speech he's giving. So in the same way, one big intellectual ass will give a big speech. Very very well thought out in very big long words. And all the other asses will clap and say, what a very nice speech. It has no more significance than the ass. The ass is making his under the influence of Maya. He is thinking, I am an ass. He is an ass. He's a fool. Because he's identifying with the body. So the big intellectual, he's also just like an ass. Because he's identifying with the body. So how is he like an ass? That is more described in the next verse. She gada hoye shangsharya bojha bohino onekakal. But you know, Thakur said, I also became an ass. And I carried the heavy load of material life. Why is an ass called an ass? In any language, ass means fool. In Russian also? In every language. In every language. Sometimes in Bengali, you hear someone say, Tumi mura, you ass, gata. Why? Because the ass, he carries big, big pile of sticks, or big, heavy washing. If you see the ass, you'll see he's carrying a big, big pile of sticks on his back. You see this huge, huge pile of sticks, and four little, tiny, skinny legs coming out from underneath it. So why is the ass carrying the heavy weight? So that he can get fed by his master. And how does the master feed him? He takes some grass from the side of the road and gives it to him. So the ass didn't have to work all day like an ass. But he was thinking, unless I work like an ass, then my master won't feed me. He could have got the grass at the side of the road. But because he's an ass, he thinks I have to work all day. So his pleasure in life is he gets a little grass, then he goes for sex life. And the she-ass, she's also interested in sex life. But she also gives the ass a few cracks, a few kicks in the jaw before she lets him enjoy. This one of our devotees from Poland, he was traveling with me in India, and he was surprised. He came to me and said, oh, I saw, it's true. The she-ass, they really kick, and they really kick, I mean, really hard. So in the same way, the materialistic man, he works so hard all day, and his pleasure at night is sex life. But to enjoy that sex, he has to suffer. The wife will harass him in so many ways. Oh, you don't love me. Why don't you speak to me? Why don't you bring more money? So in this way, he has to suffer like an ass. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I was also such an ass. And I carried the weight, the load of material life for a long time. But bardoke ekon shakti rabhabe kichu nahi lage valo. He says that now I'm old, and I don't have any strength left, so I don't find any pleasure in life anymore. Jivana jatana hoilo ekon she bidda abidda bhelo. He says that now I am simply, my life is simply full of suffering. My knowledge can't help me now. Now I realize that it's not knowledge at all. I realize that that knowledge is actually ignorance. Abidda jala ghatilo bisham she bidda hoilo shelo. Now realizing that that knowledge is all ignorance and it cannot help me at all, that realization is burning my heart. That so-called knowledge has become like a spear which is paining my heart. Tomara charana bina kichu dhan shangshare na achea. He says, Krishna, apart from your lotus feet, there's nothing in this world. There's nothing else of value. Bhakti Vinod joro bidda chari tuapada koresha. He says, Bhakti Vinod says, giving up this mundane knowledge, I make your lotus feet the essence of my life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us what is Sharanagati, what is surrender to Krishna. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness, but they're still attached to their mundane intellectual conceptions. They think, I'll worship Krishna, but I also have my own brain. I should also try to understand everything very intellectually. So the use of intelligence is not wrong in Krishna consciousness. We should use our intelligence. We shouldn't be like dull stone. But if we think that we shall understand everything about Krishna by our own brain power, then we've made a big mistake. First, we have to realize that we are completely insignificant and foolish, and that we are completely dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna to make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. Then, with that attitude, if we apply whatever little intelligence we have to understand Krishna, that is the proper use of our intelligence. No one should be puffed up thinking I'm very intelligent. No one is very intelligent. In Kali Yuga, people have no brains. Even people who seem to be intelligent, they're not at all intelligent compared to the great demigods. Or even in previous ages, people were much more intelligent. There was nothing written because everything was simply retained in the memory. The guru would speak and immediately the disciple would remember everything. And they used to learn vast, just by hearing once, they would remember vast, vast scriptures. Just like we may think we are very intelligent if we can learn a few hundred verses. But previously, the brahmanas, they used to learn hundreds and thousands of verses. They used to learn whole Vedas. Some of them would learn all the four Vedas. Not only the words, but the meaning, how exactly to chant them according to meter. So materially, no one is very intelligent. But one can become the topmost intelligent person, even without any academic, without any deep academic understanding. If he simply accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am his servant, and surrenders to Krishna fully, he is the topmost intelligent person. Jai Krishna bhajeshe bharo chatur. Who worships Krishna, he is the most intelligent person. Even if he can't speak big mathematical equations or use big long words, he is the most intelligent because he has understood what is the essence of life and applied himself to that. So devotees should be very careful to be freed from the contamination of gyan. Gyan is also required in devotional service. When we say the contamination of gyan, we mean the contamination of mundane knowledge. Preachers, especially those who are specialized preachers, for instance in the field of scientific preaching, they also need to be well versed in mundane knowledge. But if a devotee also, if he also thinks that this knowledge is wonderful, if he takes pleasure in intellectualizing, showing himself off to be a great scholar, without having the essence of life, without taking up very strongly the essence of life, which is to surrender to Krishna, if he becomes diverted into empty intellectualism, then his Krishna consciousness is spoiled. This way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to surrender to Krishna. So, any question? What do you mean? Why don't we pray like that? Why don't we pray like this? Because we're in Maya. We think this shangshare lagelo bhalo. We are thinking this material world is very nice. Therefore, Kunti Devi prays, please give me difficulties. When we are beaten severely by the whips of Maya, then our realization may become stronger. Actually, we are always being beaten by the whips of Maya. But we are so dull, like an ass, that we don't even recognize what suffering we are going through. The ass has a miserable life. He's simply carrying heavy loads and being beaten all day. But he thinks, well, it's not so bad. We should take a philosophical view of life. And at the end of the day, I'll get my grass. And I'll go to meet my girlfriend. And she'll kick me in the face. But then after that, I can enjoy. So after all, life is not so bad. This is called complacency. So we should always remember that we are in a very dangerous position. Smaran nityam anityatvam. We should always remember that everything here is temporary. There's that story that a man, he had fallen off the edge of a cliff. He had fallen off the edge of the cliff, of the mountain cliff. And he was holding on to one stick to stop him from falling. What had happened, he was being chased by a tiger. And the tiger chased him, and as he was running, he fell off the edge of the cliff. So he was holding on to the stick, and he was looking up, and the tiger was looking down at him. So up is the tiger, and down is 2,000 feet drop. And it just happened that one rat was chewing away at the stick, so the stick was going to break any time. But just above where he was, there was a bee's nest. And from that bee's nest, drops of honey were falling. So he put out his tongue and tasted the honey. And he thought, my word, this is very good honey. Very, very, very enjoyable situation I'm in. So this is our situation. We're smashed on all sides by Maya. Death is imminent. But we are thinking, well, everything's okay. No problem. Yet problem, yes. Everyone says, no problem. It's like the national anthem of the materialists. Just like Prabhupada many times used to tell the story that someone goes to visit someone else in hospital. So the man has got bandage from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. All you can see is his eyes and his nose. And he has all pipes with all kinds of pipes going in and out of his body. So his relative visits him and says, how do you feel today? Oh, today I'm feeling very well. Because he feels a little better than yesterday, he thinks, I'm feeling very well. And actually, he's in a horrible position, but he's thinking everything is very nice. So it's good to have difficulties. Just so that because we're so dull, we're thinking everything is nice when it's not. I remember once in Delhi, I was staying in ISKCON Delhi temple, and I had this huge abscess. Abscess is like a boil inside. It's like a boil, but it's not outside, it's inside. So my whole arm was swollen like this. It was extremely painful. I hadn't slept for several days. It was so painful. So it got to the point where it could be cut. So I went to the nearby hospital, and It was filthy, dirty hospital with all bandages and blood bandages, pus all in one corner. So the guy came to cut my abscess. I had to ask him to put out his cigarette first. So he cut it. No anesthetic. He wanted to save the money. It was extremely painful. And I almost fainted, literally. Started seeing all colors and stars and all this. Anyway, eventually he cleaned it all out, took all the pus out. Extremely, extremely painful. So then he bandaged it up and I walked back to the temple. And I didn't know whether I was dead or alive. It was so, so painful. Then I was thinking, well, if I come back to this material world, there'll always be this kind of pain. And then there are so many horrible things. You see how the animals, they're eating each other. They're simply in fear all the time, suffering pain. Sometime I may have abscess cut. Sometime I may fall down in front of a bus. Sometimes someone may torture me. This is material life. Guaranteed, intense pain. So I thought, this is a very good lesson from Krishna. So now I should be very serious to get out of this material life. Because if material life means pain like this, I should get out quick. So that time I had very strong resolve to get out of this material world. And then again, after you get healthy, oh, everything is very nice. Let me enjoy life. This is Maya. Smashan Vairagya, that's described. The feeling of renunciation one gets at the burning ghat. In India, at least among the Hindus, the system is dead body, they burn it. Go down to some river like the Ganga and burn the dead body at the side of the river. So everyone goes, all the relatives go to see the body being burned. And as the body is burned, they think, well, that's going to happen to me too. All my plans, all my endeavors, all my activities, it simply ends up at the burning ghat. So what is the use? Why should I endeavor in this material life? That feeling of renunciation naturally overcomes everybody. And they walk away from the burning ghat, very thoughtful, deeply absorbed in thought. Then someone will say to someone else, because they're all relatives, they maybe didn't meet each other for a long time. Oh, I didn't see you for a long time. How's your eldest daughter? Then he says, oh, she's doing nicely. She's going through her school. She'll be taking her exam soon. Then all these talks begin. And those thoughts of renunciation, smashan vairagya. That means just, you see for a little time, and you have a feeling of renunciation, then you forget it all. Therefore, we should always hear. We should hear regularly in our classes how miserable this material world is. Because we all have experience, but we all forget. So we should be reminded again and again. Smaran nityam anityatvam. Always remember that everything here is temporary. Class, we should discuss these things. Not only Radha Krishna Leela. More important, we discuss how miserable is this material. We cannot understand Radha Krishna Leela as long as we are thinking, I'm also enjoying my Leela in this material world. Another question.
Can devotees form lots of prophets to provide?
Who is strong in spiritual life? None of us are as strong as Queen Kunti. Still, we should pray to Krishna. Does that mean because we're not strong, we should pray that, give me a motor car, give me money? We're not strong, but we want to become strong. Therefore, we should pray, Krishna, please fix me in devotion to your lotus feet. Is it correct? Or should we pray, my dear Lord Krishna, please give me lots of material enjoyment? What do you think? There are prayers which we should, prayers by the acharyas, which we don't have any right to pray. Just many of the prayers, they're at a very elevated level, which are not suitable for devotees who have not become very advanced. It's like Narottam Das, sometimes he's praying that he's praying to be directly engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. One time he prays, I'd like to be a ankle bell on the feet of the gopis. So he's praying at his level of realization. That's not meant for us. We can pray to be pure devotees, free from all material desires. That is the suitable prayer for us. Another prayer. Take one from this matter. No, that I already described in the lecture. First one glorifies, then he asks. Or you can also offer prayers which are all glorification. You don't even have to ask anything. Just like we have these prayers, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Simply praise of Krishna. If you just walk up, give me this, give me that. That's not correct. That Kunti Devi, she also starts her prayers praising Krishna. Namashi Purusham Tvadyam Ishvaram Prakriti Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahira Vastita. She recognizes that you are the Supreme Personality of God, beyond the influence of material nature. You are not recognized by ordinary people, even though you are inside and outside of everything. These are very nice prayers. Probably you've read, most of the devotees here have read them in Srimad Bhagavatam, and you're very anxious to go on and read all the new volumes which are coming out. So, when you've finished reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, you may think, well,
now I've read it.
You have read it.
One time.
You have to read again and again and again. So, another question?
Is it possible that when we study the book of all the time, study the book,
how can it be harmful? Prabhupada told Harikesh Maharaj, you are authorized to read these books 24 hours a day. And Harikesh Maharaj said, well, I don't think the temple president would agree. Prabhupada said, that doesn't matter, I'm authorizing you. Actually, when I joined the temple, there was a very wrong idea being preached. He said, reading is maya. Because, why they said that? Because some devotees, they'd say, oh, I'm going to read for 2 hours. But actually it meant I'm going to sleep for 2 hours. So, sleeping in the name of reading, that is maya. But reading, that is very good. Everyone should read. Minimum 1 hour, 2 hours a day if you can read, that's very nice. You'll find that the devotees who are year after year doing a lot of book distribution, almost all of them read every day 2 hours Prabhupada's books. By reading sufficiently and then going out to serve, you get strength and realization. So in Kali Yuga, people, our tendency is to be very restless. There are very few people who can simply sit and read all day. So you read sufficiently and go out also and preach. Then you will get all realization about what you are reading. Just like you may read, Prabhupada is saying this material world is full of suffering. And if you go out in the city and bring books, you can see that directly. You can see everyone has got suffering written on their head. When you speak with people and they're so agitated and they don't want to take a book, and you can just see that actually they're suffering. Yeah. If you don't read sufficiently, you'll be in the bodily concept of life also. You think, I'm trying to sell this book and this guy is my enemy because he doesn't want to buy one. But if we read sufficiently and we refresh our spiritual knowledge, and then instead of seeing this person is insulting me, this person is a nasty guy, we'll see this person is suffering so much under the modes of material nature. He needs to get Prabhupada's book. So we won't get agitated. And people will notice that because they expect when they get agitated that someone else will get agitated also. So if they see we become peaceful, that we remain peaceful, even if there is cause for agitation, then they will know that these books are something very special. By remaining peaceful and our mind concentrated on they should get this book, then our mind becomes very strong. If we become agitated, they're also agitated, then the whole thing just becomes agitation. They don't take a book, our consciousness becomes agitated more and more. But if we simply remain peaceful, they may take a book, they may not take a book. But our strength is conserved to go on to the next person in a peaceful frame of mind. So for all devotees, but for preachers and book distributors especially, reading sufficiently is essential. It is not optional, it is essential. One more question I'll take. I was going to take one from this matter. Vrindani prayers means it's a glorification. And order means Prabhupada did it in a particular order. So we can do it in the same order. Why speculate? Alright, so I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine